The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good 8 a.m. to you Monday morning. We're in Central Time here, by the way, on the Power Hour. The Power Mall is now open, 877-817-9829. You can call up and order all those good things that keep us on the air. If you do not have internet, you can call that toll-free number and request a catalog. We'll send you one straight away. In the meantime, we talked to you before the break and mentioned that we were going to have Dr. Jennifer London on the show. She has a new book, which unlocks the power of character, 16 iconic individuals who changed history. And see, the thing is that, you know, when they try to destroy history, this is not a good thing, because then we forget those people that actually helped us make history. Now, of course, Dr. J. Philip London, Dr. Jennifer London's late husband, spent a lot of time putting this together along with co-author Taylor Killen, examining the remarkable Americans that she talks about in this book. The book profiles a vast range of personalities such as Jonas Salk, George Washington, Amelia Earhart, all of whom had unique traits that drove them in their actions and decisions and helped define them in their legacies. And that's the one thing that we all can leave as a legacy, don't you think? Dr. Jennifer London, welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here to tell you about our new book. As you mentioned, my late husband was a Navy aviator. He graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy and took a job at a company called CACI International, which he grew to be a $7 billion company that does IT security work for the U.S. government. And they have supported some of our country's most critical national security needs. My husband, in his work, both in the military and in business, really recognized the importance of character. In fact, in 2013, he wrote a book called Character, the Ultimate Success Factor. And a few years prior to his passing, we were working on a book called Profiles in Character, about 16 Americans and the character trait that defined them. And what he felt was that there was one enduring character for each of these individuals that really propelled their success. And so we looked at them in depth, and the book gives a little snapshot of a point in their life that demonstrates this character trait. For Thomas Jefferson, it was the power of persuasion. And of course, we know his contribution to the Declaration of Independence. We also covered Washington, his sense of duty, and how he came out of retirement more than once to respond to the duty to lead the Continental Army and to be president of the United States. And so we go through all of these individuals. I don't know, was there one in particular that you found interesting? I could go through all of them and talk about their traits, but some people find there's one individual in history that they are most, intrigued by. Is there anyone that you were interested
in? See, the thing is there's a lot of people, when you look at history, and see, this is the thing, Dr. Lennon, I guess the bigger problem that a lot of us have is we're taught one thing in school, and now we have to come back and try to revisit that to find out whether or not, and we do the research to find out whether or not what we learned in school was actually fact. This is a thing that's been bothering me too, because not everything that we were taught in school, even at our age, was it accurate? Was it not? I mean, this is up to every individual. And I think the thing people thought that Abraham Lincoln was probably one of the greatest presidents that ever lived. And the thing is he was the first president that actually declared martial law in America and was rounding up and punishing individuals that did not support the Union. And I just kind of like scratch my head when I hear stuff like this. And then, of course, those of you Confederates out there think that Robert E. Lee, that was some character there. I mean, even to get together at Appomattox and surrender. The thing is that, you know, Grant respected Lee to no end. I'm sure that your research has led you to some different conclusions. That's really what I would like to hear about is there anything in history that you were taught, Dr. London, that as you started to do your research turned out questionable?
Well, it's true. I mean, history is so rich and, I mean, there's so much to know about it. And so history is, I think, dependent on what is being emphasized. My husband and I traveled all over the world, and we would go to countries, and it was amazing the way they reported. I mean, a museum in Vietnam, you know, would talk about the imperialists, the U.S., and how we wanted to take over Vietnam. And so, you know, their history is, you know, I guess to the victor goes the spoils, right? I mean, they can write history the way they want. And again, Kuwait didn't give the U.S. much credit in defending them against Saddam. We went through the whole museum. There was a little bit at the end about that. So part of the issue is that a lot of history is sort of left behind because of what is emphasized. Lincoln is covered in our book. We thought he was a very empathetic person. But he also said, because his primary goal was to preserve the Union, he said if he could save the Union and not free any slave, he would do so. If he could do it by freeing some and not others, he would do so. And if he could do it by freeing all, he would do that. And ultimately, he freed the slaves to weaken the South. And so, obviously, that doesn't take away his empathy. He certainly was empathetic throughout his life, and we talk about that in the book. But his decisions during the war, I guess, tended more toward the pragmatic. And it's true that Robert E. Lee was offered to lead the Union Army, but his loyalty was to his state of Virginia. He did not support slavery. He was against secession. And he anguished over whether, you know, there would be a war and where Virginia would fall. But he demonstrated incredible character in his loyalty to his home state. And that was his decision, that drove his decision to lead the Confederate Army. After he surrendered at Appomattox, he worked tirelessly to try to help, you know, unite the country. And Lincoln did as well. Lincoln only had a short window because of his assassination. But at the end, he said that we should accept the South as if they had never left the Union, that they continue to always be part of the country. And so you're right. I mean, Robert E. Lee is, I think, very misunderstood. His character was applauded by people in other countries during his lifetime. I mean, England wrote about his great character, his honor, his integrity, his ethics. He graduated at the second in his class at West Point. He never got any demerits. He was lauded by three or more presidents of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, and Eisenhower. And 150,000 people showed up at the dedication of his statue in Richmond. And so now we kind of scratch our heads and say, what happened? And I guess when I look around, I think people who are not happy about, who are angry about the past, are maybe not happy in the present. And so we need, I think, to work on the world today and move forward in a constructive, positive fashion.
Ah, so that's why they're tearing down all these statues that have historic value to them. See, that's the thing that always bothers me. I mean, when you're looking at Jefferson and Washington and all the people that originally signed the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and actually, you know, I mean, Ben Franklin, I mean, he was another one in there that I didn't see in your book that, you know, always had famous sayings and quotes and talked about the power of the pen. And you refer to Jefferson as the persuasive pen of the American Revolution. And Jefferson, I mean, we got the Federalist Papers. And I mean, how many people were involved in that? You certainly had to pull a lot of his history and background out of the Federalist Papers, right?
That's correct. Yes, he relied a lot on the Federalist Papers, and it influenced him considerably. And so, yes, I mean, again, there is a thread that runs through history that goes back to the past, but we should always be forward-thinking and how we build on that foundation. I think there's a popular trend in our country toward this, what we call cancel culture. And so I think removing the monuments is sort of along those lines. But my concern is if you remove the monuments, you remove the opportunity for discussion. You remove the opportunity for a child in the future to look up and say, what does that represent? And for an adult to explain or to give some information or background on that. If we cancel the monuments, does that mean we cancel the war? And if we cancel the war, I mean, the discussion of the Civil War, is that the end of that story? It shouldn't be, because it's a big part of our you know, history and the foundation of our country. So I think it's very detrimental to remove these monuments and to rename. I mean, in some instances, I think it might make sense, but I don't think we should, be extreme in that. Removing Lee's statue in Richmond, I think, is very unfortunate.
Yeah, me too. The thing is that we still have, you know, there is still a Confederate charge, as I might refer to it as. There are still Confederate newspapers out there. I subscribe to one because I want to read what they're talking about, because they sometimes write up different perspectives of how history really was, just for those of us who didn't actually get the truth in it. Now, the other thing too is there are some states out there like Florida that want to ban a class, an elective on Black education. And of course, that started this racist argument out there, yet you cover the lives of Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and Martin Luther King Jr., who the guy was incredible, even though, you know, Hoover and the Kennedys thought he was a communist. It's like, now look at him. Now they're bringing back Martin Luther King Jr. talking about the content of the character, not the color of the skin. And I'm just like, these people can't make up their mind. They've got to just pull stuff out of their keister just to make an argument for the sake of an argument. History is already there. And the Black people who were involved that you're talking about in here, that they, well, you have to call them African-Americans now. You know, it doesn't make any sense. They're deliberately trying to divide us. And then they call us a racist, thinking that we're going to be offended by it. Yet you wrote about three of the most prolific. And I mean, we haven't even talked about Mr. Washington, you know, the gardener. Grover, is it Grover Washington? Yeah.
No, I mean, we didn't cover Grover Washington. We did cover George Washington, obviously.
You did, right? But I'm talking about the botanist, you know, the gardener that was a professor. Yes. I mean, all these people shaped their country the way it was. And, you know, to sit there and isolate them and say, well, we're not going to teach, but you're going to learn Black history whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter. These people were all part of it. Joe in Arkansas, you're on the phone with Dr. Jennifer London. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to say something in defense of Lincoln, and that's that some years ago I read H.G. Wells' History of the World. He was a British author, and he said that the great powers of Europe were alarmed by the rise of the United States, and they wanted to break up the United States, and also the Pope was alarmed by the rise of the United States because the United States was dominated by Protestantism, and he was afraid that would diminish the power of the Catholic Church. So that the Pope and the great powers of Europe sent their agents to work on the, and they saw that there was some antagonism between the North and the South. So they sent their agents to work on the Southern leaders to persuade them to secede from the Union. And Lincoln saw this, and he saw that the great powers of Europe and the Pope were trying to break up, you know, government of the people by the people and for the people. And he didn't like this. And so that's why he was so, you know, so very concerned to preserve the Union. And also, of course, the great powers of Europe didn't like the Monroe Doctrine, and they wanted to go back to Latin America and South America and grab more land there. And they figured that if they broke up the United States, then the United States wouldn't be able to enforce the Monroe Doctrine anymore. So So I wanted to say that in defense of Lincoln, I think he did a good thing preserving the Union so that the great powers of Europe and the Pope wouldn't have their way.
Makes sense. I mean, I like the argument, yeah. Joe.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that history. I do recall that Europe was supportive of the South up to a point until they realized that the South would not prevail. If I could go back to the issue of slavery, because it is a big topic in America today, the story of slavery is not a story necessarily of a class of people. It's a story about individuals. And this is why I support a project. I'm with the American Ancestors in Boston, and we're starting a project called 10 Million Names to research and restore the names of the 10 million slaves who came to the United States in its early history. And the reason I say that is because if you look at Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman in our book, it's two individuals who had very different experiences. Harriet Tubman was hit by an iron object that was thrown at another slave and hit her by accident. She almost died. She was in a coma for a week or so. And she sustained, brain injury. She was illiterate, but she was a great navigator. And this is how she was able to bring a lot of slaves from the South. Frederick Douglass was educated by his white slave owners. He was also set on a speaking tour by a man by the name of Garrison when he was still a slave and technically a slave. And so Douglass took a great risk to go out there, but he became one of the most famous orators in our history and the most photographed person of the 19th century. So these are two different examples of people who, as individuals, had very different experiences as slaves. And so I think one of the problems with the way we look at slavery today is that we look at it as lumped together as if everybody had the same experience. And so I think we need to look at they're individuals, and they all had individual differences.
Yeah, the big Pandora's box is when governors like Newsom start talking about it. And I could never see a chapter in any book you write with Gavin Newsom in it, because all he's done is continue this divide. But then they start talking about, and they open up the can of worms about reparations for all the current African-Americans out there. And look, I mean, the Irish were brought over here as slaves as well. What about their reparations? I mean, everybody and their brother could sit there. They all want a handout because they don't want to work for what these people that you describe in this book, every single one of them have one thing in common. They were all willing to roll up their sleeves and do hard work. They weren't afraid of hard work. Half of the people that are out there screaming they want reparations all want to just sit on their butt and let the government. This is the ones that the government we were just talking about in our last hour that the elitists want to eliminate. They want to get rid of all these people because they're lazy and unproductive and they're not helping society in any way like the individuals you write about in our book. What's your take on all this?
Well, the story of slavery is not black and white. The 1860 census in the United States showed that about 13,000 free blacks owned roughly 4,000 slaves. So not all slave owners were white, and we know that one of the largest black slave owners was a man by the name of Jennings, I believe, who lived in the North, in Maryland. And so trying to, splice this whole picture into, what category, what people go in is impossible. And that's why it doesn't make sense. At this point in time, as I said, I think we should embrace our history. Not all of history is beautiful or perfect. And so, as you said earlier, it's a learning experience. And how do we use that information going forward? So I guess we could talk about Jefferson in that regard. It's a very detailed and complicated picture, but it's an accepted fact that Jefferson had a relationship with Sally Hemmings, and she was the half-sister of his late wife. She was three-quarters white. And they had a long-term relationship that produced six children, five who survived. And two of those children integrated into white society and married affluent families into affluent families in the North. Two married into the South, and another actually married a black woman, lived in that world for a while, and then left. And he lived in Ohio and then left and moved to Wisconsin and integrated into the white society. So and then, by the way, he had four grandchildren who were in the Civil War, four of whom fought for the North, two as white men and two as black men. And then he had a grandson who was a colonel in the Confederate Army. So, you know, I think when you follow that thread throughout history, it is so interwoven that this, going back to reparations, how do you decide it's impossible? And what makes our generation so, I guess,
entitled?
What makes us justified in being the judges of people that we never knew and a part of history that we never experienced? For 150 years, other generations did not touch this issue. And I'll go back to what you said before. It's not because we're more enlightened. It's because we're less informed.
Yeah, now that, you don't know how many bells and whistles you just rang right there. Bill in Illinois, you're on the phone with Dr. Jennifer London. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got another bell for you to ring. Albert Pike, Confederate general, was locked up to be executed. And right after they assassinated Lincoln, Pike was freed and they celebrated his freedom in the White House. What does your guest know about Albert Pike other than being the head of the Masons? His statue's right there on Judicial Row. They're never going to do nothing about that. What does she have to say about that?
That's amazing you would bring that up, because the road, Highway 70 in Arkansas, is named Albert Pike. Wow.
You know, I'm not familiar with that story, but I think what it illustrates is that who decides which statues we take down and how do you decide? And again, I feel that because the monument to the Confederates in Arlington National Cemetery is now under discussion for removal, and I feel that, you know, it's a cemetery, it's hallowed grounds, it's a masterpiece. It was actually designed by a German Jew. And it really is there to recognize those individuals who fought in the Confederacy. And so, you know, again, going back to the gentleman who just phoned in, the question becomes, and I don't know the answer, who decides which statues come down and who decides which ones stay up? I say build more. If you want to make another statement, if we want to talk about unity, I mean, we're the most unified country in the world. I mean, diverse country in the world. And I think we represent unity. There are more mixed marriages and relationships in this country now than there ever has been. The more than 50% of school-aged children are minority status children. So, and I've traveled around the world. I was in Spain last summer, all over Spain. I did not see one black person. I'm sure they're there. You go to Asia, you go to other countries, they're very homogenous cultures. And yet we are not celebrating. It seems that we just keep pounding on this issue. And if we just opened our eyes and looked around, we'd find we're there. And so I think instead of tearing down statues and monuments, maybe we should build more.
I wish we had a consortium that believes that. But the way that things are in Washington, D.C. right now, everybody is so gravitated to this nonsense that's going on. You know, when you compare somebody like Ronald Reagan in Chapter 15 of your book to the current person that's serving right now in the capacity of president, or so he thinks, in his mental acuity of office furniture. I don't understand. I mean, there is nothing great about the current administration and what they're doing except to tear the country apart, don't you think?
Yeah, well, there's a purpose to that. I mean, that serves an agenda. Going back many years, it's been proven that, I mean, the research shows that negative campaign ads work. I think we've gotten to the extremes in tearing down, competitors or, candidates that we oppose, and it is very concerning. I've said before that I feel that we need leaders who are inspirational. As you said, I mean, I think Reagan is a great example. He talked about the shining city on the hill. He was a visionary, but he was also very optimistic. And when you look at what happened in the world after Reagan, you know, when he went through the arms reduction, and he stuck with these meetings with Gorbachev. I mean, Germany, Czechoslovakia, Romania, you know, the dictatorships came down. They became democratic. You have Chile, Haiti, Panama, Bolivia, Honduras, Argentina, Grenada. I mean, it was just like a domino effect because Reagan believed that, he believed in peace in the world, and he worked for that. And so, I could go on, El Salvador, Brazil, Guatemala, and the Philippines. I mean, these countries increased their democratic government because this domino effect occurred with the decline of the Soviet Union and Reagan's vision for world peace. And I think we've lost that in our leaders. The person who can be the example, and this is another reason we wrote the book, because we think these people are good role models that to help individuals who might read the book find their own strength of character, their own strength of their own convictions.
Well, the beauty about this country is that it was set up as a constitutional republic. And I think Jefferson, Washington, and everybody that was part of the framers of our Constitution and Bill of Rights would be turning over in their grave right now to hear Chatty Cathy Pelosi keep referring to what we have as democracy when it's anything but. I think our founding fathers set the stage, and what we do with it, we've been entrusted. We have a responsibility and a duty to this country to protect the constitutional republic that it is. And both sides of the aisle, unfortunately, I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. Anybody, even Tucker Carlson, can't get the word democracy out of his vernacular. And so I have a problem with people that don't understand what we took an oath to. And me, as a veteran in Vietnam, I took the same oath a lot of you vets did out there to uphold and protect the Constitution. Dr. Jennifer London, thank you so much for the book. People need to read it. Profiles and Character. Where is it available?
Yes. And, it's actually available the end of the month, and all proceeds go to a military organization. Thank you again for being with me today.
Thank you, Dr. Jennifer London. We will be back with more news and your phone calls, your reactions to our conversation after these words. Stay with me.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health, as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients, such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Chance in West Virginia. Haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on?
Good morning, Dave Meister. You know, I was thinking along these lines. You know how we have no honorable men in politics nowadays on every level? My question is, were there men back then that were dishonorable in politics, that were kept in check from overthrowing the government the way they have now? And how were they kept in check, and by who? I think that's a more interesting question. Do you think so?
You know, it is interesting how history has dictated certain things and how opposing forces have come out to try to stop it. You know, I think it's a grace of God that we've survived this long, to be honest with you. And, you know, every time that some evil thing looks like it's happened, there's always been some opposing scenario that has presented itself to, you know, either A, continue to either prolong the scenario, prolong the problem, or to put an end to it so that it doesn't happen again. But most of the time, I think it's just prolonging the inevitable.
Right, right. Well, that's where my interest lies, because I can't believe how far down we've went in such a relatively short time that I can't help but wonder if they tried this nonsense before but were kept in check by the honorable men that had power, power.
And what did Sir Edmund Burke said about, you know, the greatest thing that good men can do is to not do something to stop evil? right?
Right.
For good men to do nothing. Evil will prevail. So, you know, yeah, good exactly. men, you're right, Chance. People have done the honorable thing and tried to stop evil from happening. Some have succeeded, some haven't. So that's where we sit right now in American history. You know, I find it interesting that Dr. Jennifer London continued to use the word democratic in her conversation. And when she starts doing that, I'm going, you know, what are we getting away from here? You know,
that's a bad habit people cling to for some reason. They keep referring to this country as a democracy. I wish they would finally catch themselves and correct themselves. But I guess they're just hung up on it for one reason or another.
Well, you know, Joseph Goebbels, the information minister for the Nazi Party back in World War II, his big thing is just keep saying it over and over and over and over again, and people will come to believe it. So you just keep lying to them.
The effect it has on people, it's incredible. Okay, thank you, Dave Meister.
Appreciate it, Chance. Thank you. Brady in Vegas, what say you?
Yeah, good morning, Dave. I couldn't think of a more evil name to name this hurricane that's going to hit Vegas now. Hillary, could you pick? Good God. Can they let it rest already, man? They always get me with that rotten person.
Brady,
our hands are actually hitting Vegas today. First
they
time
probably
ever in
are.
The history of. It's kind of odd. It's flooding like California, different parts right now. It's not even making the news, kind of just like what happened in Maui. You got to ask yourself, is this hurricane also been modified to come this direction using harp frequencies?
Could be.
One thing you mentioned, Karen Kingston, and what's happening is why they're going after all these people is she looks at the blood analysis under the microscope like La Quinta Colomba, the guys that are the scientists in Chile. And what they're discovering and what she was just bringing forward to the table is the blood of the unvaccinated are getting tainted from shedding. And the reason why she's seeing this is the nanotechnology. She's seeing circuits being formed inside the blood. That's called the nanotechnology of the beast. The mark of the beast is now growing inside everyone who didn't even get the jab. They're getting shed upon. And the problem is the frequencies. When you're dealing with these 5G towers, I kind of figured out what they wanted to do with the graphene. They made us become a router. We're like an atmospheric router. They use the 5G, and wherever we go, because there's so much graphene in our system, they can use frequency to modify whatever we want in our brain, in our body, to get like viruses, all through different frequencies. And that's why you see 150,000 5G towers all across this country. They're not for cell phones or wireless technology.
Yeah,
the electrical
I know.
Cables just... on them things are a foot and a half wide.
Yep. Well, here's the thing, Brady. Most of us operate on frequency. And this is something that our creator imbued us with. And we have the frequency to dial in the spirit and not worry about, you know, all of these scenarios. We just have to basically do something about it, which is why the Power Mall is now open. We appreciate your call. Bill in Illinois chiming back in again. What say you?
Well, I heard about the comment about Goebbels, and, you know, I'm not promoting anything, but I listened to his whole speech where he said that. And what he said was, it's been said. See, that's a communist way of doing things. He said, it's been said that if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes a truth. But I say to you that sooner or later, a lie collapses under its own weight. That's what he said in that speech. But people always label him with the whole thing. So
yeah,
you need to
I
listen
get it.
To that. Yeah.
Listen
so
to
he
the
was
speech.
Correct about it, you know. But I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying, you know.
No, but Bill, you hit the nail on the head, see, because this is what our society right now, this is why it's imploding, don't you think?
Well, of course, we're under a communist thing. They keep throwing fascism in there, but, you know, they're both socialist things, but one was productive and one wasn't. You know, if you just go by what happened, you know, I've studied World War II for over 30 years in that, and you know, talk to veterans from all sides and things, and things are a lot different. I remember being in grammar school in the 60s, and when we got to that point of World War I and World War II, they stopped the book. They said, this is too recent history. We're not going to go into it.
Wow.
And I talked to other people in the Chicago area that the same thing. They said the same thing to them. You know, friends that were the same age and lived in different areas of the city. And that's what they told. And I went to a Catholic school, a Catholic grammar school. So, I mean, that's what they told us. And, you know, I remember seeing it in a book, and we couldn't wait to get there because our relatives were involved in the war and everything else. You know, we played army in the woods and stuff. You know,
yeah.
You probably did, too. And,
we all did, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well,
but they
but,
stopped
but the
it
thing
right
is,
there. And,
I know it, but the thing is you remember way back when your World War II research with what Kennedy said. You remember he said, ask not what your country can do, ask what you can do for your country. But that saying actually was attributed to Adolf Hitler. Have you found that to be true?
Wow. See, I didn't know that. Wow.
He said it
okay,
first.
Okay, well, I just want to.
Throwing it out there. You know, we're this is, folks, thank you, Bill, for that, by the way. I appreciate that. It's always enlightening. Because, see, the thing is there's always somebody out there that's got a facet of history we need to plug into. Because if we don't do our homework and we don't do the research, like I asked Dr. London, what happens when you find out in real life that what you were taught in high school either was that the facts were absent, they were diluted, or it was a flat-out lie? And then all of a sudden, years later, you find out the truth. Then what happens? Then how do you look at the system and you go, man, what happened to me? What happened to the system? And I start doing self-analysis about, man, am I making the right decisions? And see, this is why I look back at Al, you know, wanting us to pray for his situation. He's conflicted. Hey, you know, when they start altering history and start changing people's perspectives of things, this is what causes us to make bad decisions rather than relying on the Almighty and saying, look, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and I'm going to figure this out. Wow. Man, this has been an enlightening show today. I'm glad you're all paying attention. You're all listening out there. We got the smartest audience out there here in the Power Hour. Phone lines are still open, 844-769-2944, if you want to add into the conversation. And here's the thing. We can have a conversation. We have freedom of speech, at least for now. But the thing is I'm not worried about Karen Kingston. If Karen Kingston, she put out, like Chance was talking about, all these people, I mean, she's putting out this worry ward stuff. I was having a conversation over the weekend with Carolyn Blakeman from the Hospital Homicide Project. And see, you know, or Brady brought it up, you know, about the fact that, you know, she's all worried about the fact that she's a target. They're going to censor who they want to censor. They're going to try to discredit who they want to discredit. But if they go out and start killing all the whistleblowers and people that are actually speaking the truth, what do you think the people who are not awake, what do you think they're going to start thinking when all of a sudden these people start to disappear? Do you think they're all going to say, good, they got theirs? But then they start thinking, well, wait a minute. If they did that to them, what happens when I wake up and I say something that they don't agree with? Could it happen to me? You see, that's what people don't get. You can't just eliminate people because they come out with a truth bomb. You just can't. People are going to do the homework and they're going to come to that realization and they're going to share it. It's just, it's inherent. People, when you get motivated by the Spirit of God, you're going to come forward and you're going to share things that other people just don't want to hear. That should not give you the spirit of fear that you have to worry about them coming after you. That's what I think is so weird. It's like Stu Peters can't have a show now because Karen Kingston is in hiding. I mean, come on, folks. Joe in Arkansas, what's up? You're back.
I wanted to corroborate what Bill just said. And
okay.
I read Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, several years ago. And what he actually wrote about the big lie technique in Mein Kampf was he said that the Marxists know that most people only tell small lies and they can't conceive that anyone would tell a really big lie. Therefore, the Marxists tell big lies and repeat them over and over because they know that if they do that, then people will believe it. That's what Hitler actually wrote in Mein Kampf about the big lie technique.
Interesting. Okay. I'm glad you enlightened us on that. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. You guys are on it this morning. I appreciate it. Debbie in Indiana, you're on. Go ahead.
Good morning. Are you there?
I am here. We're all ears. Go for it.
Okay. I have a granddaughter that lives in Pennsylvania. somebody called CPS on her. Her two little boys are outside with no shirt on.
Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah. Man, you remember, we all used to play outside. My mother would say, take your shirt off and get some sun. You know, we all did that. And we would play, I mean, for crying out loud. In school, we would have teams divided by shirts and skins, remember? Except in girls. I mean, you didn't have that in girls. But, you know, in the boys, they would make us play, you know, touch football or flag football with shirts and skins. I mean, for crying out loud. And now they're calling CPS. Oh, these people are sick and twisted.
Okay, and I don't know if anybody else has been getting these phone calls, but last week I got two phone calls from foreigners wanting to know if I had a house or property for sale.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, investors, you know, they're trying to buy up as much as they can in America, and all you have to say is no and hang up.
And just one more thing. I don't remember who the guy's name was, but he was on Alex Jones yesterday, and he said they have a wall built around
Maui,
that area in Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah, we had heard that.
Okay, and then he also said there was a man that got arrested for trying to go to his own house.
Hmm. Doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me anymore.
Nope. You know, when the government gets involved, this is what happens. You know, they make worse of a mess of it than it already is. But the government may have created the mess for all we know. That's why you got so many Hawaiians out there now saying they think it was directed energy weapons that caused the fires, not the electric grid. But see, they have to have a narrative. And so this is the same thing. Everybody in America needs to start paying attention to this, folks, is that when you hear a narrative, start thinking about all the other counter narratives and counter possibilities that it could be. Because, see, they tell you one thing and then you find out down the road, his history has shown us that it was something totally different. So, Debbie, appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much. Jeff in North Carolina, you're on. Go.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Hope you had a good weekend. I just wanted to call you. I know it's the end of the show. You were talking about the lies and stuff that are promoted and lifted up all the time. You know, isn't it really amazing the people in America that are just open and just receiving lies and just can't, it's like they just can't even think straight, and they're just so deluded. I mean, isn't it incredible, really?
Well, they've been conditioned, Jeff, because, you know, they've got schools that are conditioning them to be rebellious. They're conditioning our children to disregard parental authority. I mean, seriously, I mean, if they can condition kids to now challenge their own identity and say, well, maybe I'm a boy or maybe I'm a girl or maybe I can be one for a day and I don't have to tell mom and dad anything. And they're trying to break up the family unit is what they're trying to do, which is why you see more and more people pulling their kids out and try and teach them the right way, teach them the way that God intended. And so they won't turn away from it when they get older. You know, there has to be a right way of thinking here. That's a godly way of thinking. And, you know, understandably, Dr. London brought up a few of these instances. But again, you know, when you start talking about the family unit, and the fact that all these people out there are so easily influenced, this is all, again, by design, and we have to confront it.
Right, right. Well, you know, Dave, that there's a verse in the Bible that really is very, very powerful that has really just really came into full fruition. It talks about people being under the strong delusion and believing lies rather than the truth. And the bad is good and the good is bad. Evil is good and good is evil. And I mean, this stuff is amazing that just people just it's like they just cannot think. And it just every day that I live, I see this stuff. And it's almost like you can't even communicate with these people. It's like trying to penetrate a wall when you're trying to even share something and talk to them.
My dad used to call it a thick skull.
Call, yeah. And you know what, Dave? You were saying something about the youth. You know, it's like I saw a video of a girl in school that her teacher took her cell phone away. And now this is kind of funny, but And the girl got so upset with this teacher, I think it was high school, and she was yelling and fussing and broke out pepper spray and sprayed the teacher with pepper spray because he wouldn't give her phone back.
Yeah, being a teacher is a very dangerous job in this day and age. I'm just surprised more teachers haven't quit the system. Yeah, because this is just not working. This public education system we have that people don't have a right to because they can't find anything in the Constitution that says you have a right to an education. And see, this is the thing about the sign. You remember seeing the movie Pump Up the Volume with Christian Slater. The kid comes up that dropped out of school or got kicked out of school, and he's got a sign that says, I got a right to an education. And I'm like, okay, now where did that come from? You don't have a right to an education. You know, but they put that in there because they want people to see that thing and think that they got a right to an education. You see, this is what Hollywood has done to people and messed up their heads. So, you know, what can I say? We just have to get this delusion out of our head and get this cognitive dissonance out of our head and start educating others and tell them the way things are. That's your mission in life, Jeff. We appreciate your phone call. Yeah, God bless you, man. Three-judge panel has ruled out a split sentence for petty capital offenses, believe it or not. This is the D.C. Court of Appeals. Thank God for small favors. What they're basically saying is you district judges out there, you can't do what you're doing. You can't sit there because of these parading convictions that all these J6 prisoners are being. You can't impose both prison sentences and then probation for petty offense misdemeanors, such as often used charge of parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. They're either going to get prison time or they're going to get probation, but they're not going to get both. This is what the D.C. Court of Appeals has now just decided. So it's going to overturn a lot of this crap that they've dished out to these supposedly rightful thinking Americans that were tricked into showing up at the Capitol. I wish if there was one part of history right now that could all be taken back, would be everything from J6 forward. Because all of this, from Trump's speech, again, pat me on the back, from Trump's speech to what happened at the Capitol to the trap that was set, Trump offered troops. They could have put 20,000 troops out in front to make sure that it was a peaceful demonstration. But that's not what happened. We all know what happened. All right. So now everything has been shaped to where now they're pointing a finger at who they call the key player in this whole mess, Trump. And they're throwing him off his political footing. And this is what's made him more of a victim to the average person out there, because now they see, hey, if they can come after him like that, bearing false witness, they sure can do it to us. Now we have a former DOJ official, Jeffrey Clark, who has filed a motion to oppose the proposed March 2024 trial date requested by the prosecution, Fannie Willis, in this racketeering case. The indictment, he says, was filed at 10:30 p.m. on Monday, August 14th, while the motion was filed at 12:49 p.m. on August 16th. The motion reads, pointing out that not one of the 19 defendants named has yet even been served with any warrant, taken into custody, had a first appearance, been arraigned, or waived arraignment. Folks, I guess Fannie Willis has forgotten how the system is supposed to work. All this is supposed to happen before a trial date is even talked about. Here's this little witch in Atlanta that's now got her website up trying to campaign to all the stupid people out there that don't know our system of justice, which Jeffrey Clark calls highly premature. Boy, isn't that the truth? See, Fannie Willis obviously forgot. Maybe she didn't learn it in high school. I have the faintest idea. These lawyers with agendas are all trying to start stuff, and it's all, I mean, you watch, all these defendants are going to remove all their cases to federal court. A majority of them are going to get dismissed. Fannie Willis is going to get nowhere. It just put a stain on her office. You people in Fulton County, Georgia, need to wake up and realize what in the hell is going on with your justice system there. This is nuts. Christina Bob, Trump attorney, criticizing this criminal indictment against her client, but expressing confidence Mr. Trump is going to succeed. This is just nuts what they're doing. It's the most radical she has seen yet, Christina Bob says. Matt Gaetz, as a matter of fact, has introduced a bill to censure and investigate the judge, Tanya Chutkan, in Trump's 2020 election case. See, now Congress is starting to get in the game. A federal judge has denied a request to halt Florida law restricting Chinese land ownership. Here we go. Federal judge jumping in. Judge Allen Windsor, U.S. District Judge, denied a preliminary injunction motion that would have blocked the law. Went into effect on July 1 until the case moves through the court. Wow. We got so much more to talk about, and we will in the After Hour cast. I'm going to be doing later in the afternoon, and I'll be putting it online for all of you to listen to. In the meantime, thank you for your contributions today to the show. God bless you. Shop at the Power Mall. Keep us on the air. 877-817-9829. It is now open, ready for business, ready to help you. Whole idea is about surviving this mess. God bless you, and God bless what's left of the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
Harmful organisms are everywhere, affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.